Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Interesting conversation that has started to sprout up as we get you ready for Shedeur Sanders' first start on Sunday against the Raiders. And it should note, we'll get to the Alex Wright stuff as well. Call me crazy, but it's not the biggest news in the world, and I don't think we should put all things into it, but we'll get to that as well. But I do think the narrative that is starting to, or narratives rather, that is starting to take place is whether the Browns are going to let Shedeur be Shedeur on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm at a little bit of a crossroads in this one, because like the part of Shedeur that he wants to display is a part of Shedeur that I think a lot of fans would just have him not display. What I mean by that is, I think when he runs backwards, for instance, there are plays where he escapes out of it. We just tend to ignore those because they're offset by the times that he gets sacked for 14 yards. I think Shedeur looks at that part of his game as a feature and not a bug. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference here is that I think fans would just be a lot easier if he just kind of, I don't know, threw the ball into the bleachers, and instead of taking a sack or even trying to risk and go for the big play, he just took it a little bit easier. I just don't know that he knows how to play football that way, or excuse me, wants to play football that way.
Yeah, I think it's, and by the way, I'm gonna divide this further. I think the fans would love to see the big Shedeur plays. If the Fannin touched, if the Fannin pass happens multiple times a quarter, I'll take him turning his back to the defense in a disastrous sack once a quarter, too.
Yeah, with the understanding that, hey, down the road, we'll get that cleaned up.
Yeah,
we can't do it right now, but down the road, we will.
But I think the problem is I don't know that's how Kevin Stefanski feels. I think right. Kevin bought in so hard to, well, turnovers were really the only reason we went 3-14. Quarterback play was really the only reason we went 3-14, which, again, is not, it's not really true, but it's something that he, I think, just leaned into rather than deal with why that team failed as much as they did. And so I think fans in Shedeur want shizzle, right? And I think Kevin Stefanski would be as over the moon as you possibly could be if on Sunday, after that game went down, Shedeur just did his best Dylan Gabriel impression.
Yeah, I don't think he has that in him, though, is the difference here.
And Kevin or Shedeur?
No, Shedeur, that is. I think, and you saw that. I think you saw that in the half of football that he got to play. I think his brain instinctively goes for the let's be legendary moments. And I like this side of Shedeur, by the way. And also, I would tell him, you know, I once had somebody in radio that I respect and I like a lot.
Thank you.
It was not you, but either way.
Okay.
I respect and like you, but it's, you know, it wasn't
good,
you. Not with
save.
This. Not with this piece of advice.
Erase your phrase?
No, but the thing that they said and they stressed was that a lot of times you get the job and then you start acting a little bit different. You start acting like not yourself. And like, mm-hmm. you got to do what got you the job to begin with. That's the reason why you got the job, is for whatever you displayed in that beginning setting. He's like, I watch so many people on radio, they get the job and then they try to become something different or they act something different and it blows up on them. Do what got you the job. And when it comes to Shedeur, I would tell him, go back to what you did at Colorado. Go back to what you did at Jackson State. Go back to what you've done your entire life. Do what got you to the spot where you are right now. And that's going to be way better than trying to conform to what Kevin Stefanski wants or whatever version of Dylan Gabriel we're suggesting that Stefanski would turn him into.
Yeah, I think the problem is we know how Stefanski likes to operate. I think the cardinal sin of Stefanski is, you didn't do exactly what I said.
I think that
was part of the rub with Baker between the two of them.
I think he's already expected that's going to happen with Shedeur anyway. If you score touchdowns and you have this offense looking like it's actually got a pulse, then I think Stefanski will turn around real quick.
All right, so I think we might finally get to a point where, yeah, we love our process, but I'll take some results right now. I think that's the most fascinating push and pull of this, is has Stefanski gotten so desperate with just how bad the offense has looked, and understanding that if 2-8 leads to 3-14, it's really hard to come back as a head coach after 6 wins in 2 seasons in 34 games. That is an element of what they're going to allow. Now, Tommy Rees, Browns offensive coordinator, and then that's Tommy Rees, Browns offensive coordinator. He spoke today on finding the balance between going on and off script.
With all quarterbacks, you try to find that right blend, right? I don't think you can play this game completely by the book, and I don't think you can play this game completely like a cowboy, right? You got to have the blend of both, and that's something we try to instill in our guys. And I would say Shador has some ability to play within the framework of the offense, just like Dylan has some ability to play free and create plays.
I really think after watching what they did with Joe Flacco the first 4 weeks of this season, I think we need to go in and understand that they think their job. I would be really surprised if Kevin didn't think his job this week in practice was to rein in Shador Sanders. And by the way, I don't think it's going to be good for Shador or the Browns, but I think that's 100% how Kevin Stefanski came into this week thinking, how do I reach this kid?
Some birds aren't meant to be caged, Nick. That's how I feel about Shador. And so I feel like if you're gonna go ahead and try to cage him, it's not gonna end well for you. It's gonna end like what happened when you try to do it to Flacco, when you try to do it to Dylan Gabriel. It's not gonna go well for you.
I just like that. That's like a very sage advice, but we're talking about a fifth round rookie who
it applies just the same.
Like Kevin,
it applies just the
same. If you love Shador and you let him go and he comes back to you, that's real love.
I don't know what you have
to
lose.
If you let Shador go and he doesn't come back, well, there's your answer.
Hey, listen, Kevin, I don't know what you have to lose. You got everyone in the media now on your side being like, oh, Kevin told us all it's a red shirt season. To hell he did. He just told you this last week. I'm so infuriated by that. At some point, I'm just going to lose my mind on that discussion.
Could it be now?
All right, right now. So here's the thing. So everyone's been reporting now all week long that apparently he had some sort of Stefanski's been going around and saying red shirt season for Shador. That's been the plan the entire time. If that's been the plan the entire time, why is it we're just now hearing about that being the plan? If that existed the entire time, we would have heard about it before this last week. Would we not have? It's a bonkers to me. Just because he tells it to you or it gets through to you at some point this week that it was some sort of red shirt season doesn't mean that it's automatically been the case the entire time. Stefanski could, in fact, be making this up as he goes and saying things. Also, very convenient to say it's a red shirt season. Meanwhile, he's been the backup quarterback since October 7th. Like, what in the hell are we doing?
So what you're telling me is that the organization that is routinely misled, withheld, just overall not been very truthful with their fans in the media, you're saying they could create a narrative after something's gone down that actually doesn't align with reality?
Yeah, and we're watching it as people are now rewriting the whole entire thing, being like, well, he's been this whole way. Everyone's known it's a redshirt season. No, we haven't. That has not been what anyone has been saying the entire time.
All right.
Stop that. He's been a backup quarterback for almost a month and a half now. You can't rewrite history this way. Oh, it makes me so mad.
Oh, man. What, we don't want to talk about so rewriting angry. History. We
oh,
don't want
to. The rewriting of history.
Oh, we don't want to get into revisionist history, throwing
doing?
That around.
And people are going to recount this. I get mad because I like to think of myself as like, what really happened in the moment? And then 5 years from now when we discuss this type of thing, I'll be arguing with somebody and they'll be telling me, oh, no, it was always a red shirt season. That's what this was always going to be. No, we just heard about this 3 days ago that it's a red shirt season and we're supposed to act like that's common knowledge the entire time. No. Just because they tell it to you now doesn't mean that all was always true and was always how they were thinking about it. That's insane.
I don't understand how after 6 years with these guys, we don't understand the difference between what they say and reality. I feel like you and I both have gone on different tangents this year to be like, guys, just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. And it is wild. And I think a lot of this, by the way, I think we're so conditioned. For a long time, we just knew, well, whatever they say is probably hogwash. Because they've been here 6 years, I do think that there's been a level of trust embedded for the casual fan that I think we've almost forgotten of like, hey, that organization really hasn't earned that benefit of the doubt when they say things.
Not in the slightest a bit. So I don't know. I'm a little angry about that.
And I couldn't tell.
I'm a little angry about the idea that it seems like now the idea that even that they're going to try to even cage Shador in some sort of way or limit what he's even going to try to do gets me all hot and bothered.
I need you to accept this.
I think he beats to his own drum. I just think he's so comfortable with who he is.
He won't start again for the Cleveland Browns.
I think somebody like Dylan Gabriel, I think you can say, go out and do my bidding. If you don't do my bidding, then we'll just throw you away like days old Chinese food. I think Shador, he just goes to his own speed.
Yeah, I love you, buddy. But I think he's just going to do it. I think Shador has to prove he can fit in before he fits out. I think it's dumb. I wouldn't do it, but I think that's how Kevin Stefanski operates.
I think he's got one game. I think if he throws multiple touchdown passes and looks like the Shador we've always known, but also throws touchdowns and everything in between, I think he's going to look at Stefanski afterwards and be like, if you're not happy with that, you'd rather throw check down Charlie out there, then go ahead. You do that if you want to do that, but look at what just happened.
The only way it doesn't matter if Shador goes full Shador is if he has like a four touchdown performance and they win by two tutties. If it's subjective in any way, if the Shahaters can say he stunk and the supporters can say he was great, if that's the takeaway on Monday and Shador went full Shador, you know he's not seeing the field again.
I think Flacco, there was one play where he tried to basically go back to the old Flacco, and it was an interception that Ross Tucker, it was week two, Ross Tucker described as like one of the more embarrassing interceptions he's ever seen. And I think that then was like, Flacco was like, all right, I guess I got to play your game. I guess I got to do it the way you want to do it. I tried. And I think if Flacco would have gotten away with it in that moment, that would have been a big-time play. We might have seen a different Flacco for the remaining part of the season.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got quick hits coming up at 240. We've got Emery Hunt, owner of Football Game Plan. We'll talk Shador Sanders' first NFL start at 3. The quarterback Deadpool, which mine's pretty much just dead. Coming up at 3:40, we've got Pete Futek, college football news at 4 today, and we've got Cash Love It!
Hate it!
Coming up at 6:30 today with his picks for the week. So much to get into on today's show, but 216-474-0092. Will the Browns let Shador be Shador on Sunday? And maybe the opposite can be true. Maybe the Browns don't want Shador to be legendary after all. We have one analyst that thinks so. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Thank you to the Lake Erie Monsters, the Cleveland Monsters, excuse me, for our Barons hat. They're celebrating the legendary minor league hockey team. Of course, we had the Cleveland Barons as an NHL team for, I think, 2 full years back in the mid-70s. We are styling and profiling in this. And let it be known to all the teams in town, we love free stuff.
We do like it. This is the encouragement to everybody else. Yep. If you send things, we will wear it.
And if you can see,
we will definitely wear it.
You can see, JP and I have two different sized domes. Yeah. So if you're looking on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel, not many hats fit this melon. It fits what I would say is a very normal sized head and this gigantic dome. So we're feeling good.
I thought that was interesting. Mac made a comment about that. His first thought was, oh, will that even fit on your hat? That was a Corrali. It was a little bit of a Corrali mixed
went
in
full
there.
Corrali.
Will that even fit on your hat?
Will that fit on that giant melon? What were you saying about me?
I think he was angling for the hat was the idea there, though. I think he was hoping you'd be like, I tried it on and it doesn't fit. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe, just maybe, you'd be willing to give that one up.
It's either that or Mac also, I think, massive dome.
I do.
And it also might have been a little bit of like, man, if it fits on his dome, it can fit on anyone's dome kind of thing, which is totally fair.
Feel bad. I've been wanting to get Mac some sort of hat or something. We went to a shop one time, me and Mac was looking at the hats. He's like, oh, this one looks good. And my initial thought was, I'll get the hat for Mac. He does a good job around here. Let's get him something. And then I looked at the price of the hat and I was like, not happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like indebted.
Was it like $25?
No, it was like $44 for a hat.
Oh, gosh.
I like you about $25 hat worthy. Maybe not $44 hat worthy.
Nah, I get it.
Do you like yourself for $44?
No.
At least you're consistent.
That's why this hat is so good. This one free is the best price for me.
This we like free and we like compliments. So just to all the teams in town, we like free, we like compliments. Now, I can understand what Mary Kay's trying to say. I think in the same way that I think the most predictable thing here is Kevin Stefanski's going to want Shador Sanders to be a game managing quarterback and Shador's going to want to be Shador. I think we're going to see that play out on the field, and you just hope that it's on the better side of it. Meaning, Shador can do enough to appease Stefanski while also being enough of himself. Here's the other most predictable thing. Shador's going to have a couple plays that don't make sense because he absolutely will feel the pressure. The entire NFL has talked crap about this kid for 11 months, and not just that, but he knows for a fact that there are well-connected dudes in this sport that have just basically run him down. And I guarantee you, he doesn't even know the names of the guys. The industrial complex, it is the NFL.
Yeah.
wants Shador to fail, by and large.
And honestly enough, one of those teams that seemed to be driving that bus...
is the Browns?
No, the Raiders. The Raiders. Think about it. Like, I mean, it's somebody... Tom Brady, they'd worked out together since he was 15 years old. It was always the thought process that he would end up being with the Raiders, and they were going to try to maneuver their way to get Shador. And Dion, at one point, it made a big push, and he was potentially going to be the head coach of the Raiders. All these things... And they passed on him as if he was just garbage. Mm-hmm. Like, they let him out to dry for what is supposed to be like a family friend to the Sanders. And he's supposed to, and Brady and all these guys with the Raiders are supposed to have known Shador since he was knee high to a duck. And at one point in the months leading up to the draft, Brady had been like his personal quarterback, working with him and doing things. All these rumors that we'd heard about that relationship, and they just did nothing about it. So, like you know, Shador is going to be itching to go ahead and make sure that they showcase, at least he can showcase what he can do in front of them.
So I think there's going to be a bare amount of this that has to be acceptable if you're the Browns. Like, you have to know some of that is coming. I think if you're Shador, it's can you limit it to moments where it makes sense, right? And think back to the Larvidane throw, because I think a fair criticism is he had Jerry Jeudy open in the flat mm-hmm. for an easy first down.
Yeah.
Like, is there a moment where, hey, it's third and long, third and manageable, third and six, third and seven, but there's an easy first down here. Don't risk it into the end zone. I think there's going to have to be a balance there.
I know, but it's really hard because then if he's already slow to get the ball out to begin with anyway, you want him thinking even more?
No, this is a great point. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. Like I have a hard time with that. If the whole goal of this is to try to get him to play his game and to make sure that he can do what he can do, you're going to slow that processing down? You're going to have him thinking even more? You're going to have him thinking, am I doing what Stefanski wants me to do in this moment, or am I doing what I want to do in this moment?
It's impossible not to think back to Joe Flacco, a quarterback who, like, 2 weeks after we saw the one version of Joe, went out and just went back to being Joe Flacco. It's impossible to not look at that and then go, well, are you going to give... And again, if you can reduce a fringe... I don't think he is, but a fringe Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, decade-long starting quarterback in the NFL, at the end of his career, with 20 years experience, if you can reduce him to, you've slowed him down and you basically muted all the things that made him good, If you can do that to Joe Flacco, God help you with what you can do for a kid that, again, is still learning all the different nuances of being an NFL quarterback.
I'll be upset. If it looks like Dylan Gabriel, I'll be very upset because I just know that's not his game. At the heart of it, that's not his game to throw the ball 5 yards and then just hope that the offense sputters out behind it. Like, I bought the ticket. I want the ride, Nick. I want to see what Shador can do.
If I see elements where it's clear he's second-guessing himself, meaning, like, I think you saw it with Joe. Joe would see a play down the field, and then you would see him just kind of go to check down.
Yep.
And every time we saw that, that to me was Kevin Stefanski being in his head, which that's not where, like, the whole genius of Jim Schwartz, I think, is that Jim Schwartz removes all the obstacles for these guys playing, slowing down, and basically says, I want you to play fast. That's not a pacing thing. That's about how each individual player feels free enough to play their actual game. And it's the one thing, at least the last year and a half, I've not seen Kevin Stefanski do.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a coincidence that guys overthinking it, guys getting in their own way, guys trying to act against type. I don't think it's a coincidence that the remaining guys we have on this roster that do it are on the offensive side of the ball.
I know. It's almost encouraging at the lack of time that Stefanski has been able to actually have with Shador in real practice reps, et cetera. It might actually go to his advantage here because he hasn't had a million hours of just being, what makes you great, what makes you special is now being coached out of you, because I just don't want that for Shador. Now, I do think there are ways that Stefanski could help. Like, if you want to take advantage of his elite accuracy and how you scheme guys open, or how you at least used to be able to scheme guys open, great, do that.
He's still scheming guys open. I just don't think Dylan Gabriel's throwing to them.
I agree with that. Like, there's been a lot of different plays you can see where there are guys that are there. And so, like that, take advantage of some of those things. That's where I think you're going to start to see a difference. Because I really do think there are plays to be had that Dylan just wasn't making.
I hope that what we heard from Tommy Reese coming back in that first segment, where he said, we're trying to balance the on and off script, right? We want to give him opportunities to do the thing that he's really good with. And he said the same thing with Dylan, although it's the opposite problem. It's, hey, Dylan, actually go off script here because there's something available. But I want to believe that what Tommy Rees said was correct. That, hey, we're going to give a balance there. My problem is, again, going back to words versus action with the Cleveland Browns.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
I only see them go in the wrong direction with quarterbacks and slow down quarterbacks, which in today's NFL, a slow quarterback is death.
I will be screaming at my television if the first quarter looks something like what we saw with Dylan Gabriel, because I just know
that you might be screaming at your television.
He's cosplaying then. That's not Shador Sanders. But I don't think Shador is going to fall for that. I really don't. I just don't think he has it in him. And maybe that's part of the reason why Dylan had the job first before Shador, because he knew that he wasn't going to be able to do that to Shador, and Shador would just oblige. That's just a harder thing. But I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if that happens that way.
Will the Browns let Shador be Shador on Sunday? And what does that mean? And again, I think when the, I don't want to say hero ball, because I hate that. It's just off-script plays. But when that tendency to make those big plays happens, as long as they make sense, right? Like, and by the way, actually, I can give Kevin Stefanski away to limit the opportunities of Shador going full Shador or trying to be legendary. Yeah, don't put him in a bunch of 3rd-and-8s, 3rd-and-9s, 3rd-and-10s the way you did in his debut this last weekend.
Well, and within that, we need to have a lot fewer penalties than we had.
Okay, but let's say we can't do that.
Okay, because
let's say that's not on the table.
It's not on the table?
Yeah, let's say Cam Robinson's going to get at least 2 penalties on Sunday. The rest of the O-line, at least a penalty.
I felt bad with him on how the first drive ended up stalling out. It was like you had enough for the first down. The 2 completions were enough for the first down. That was 13 yards. You just got backed up because of penalties then. That stinks. That's a part of a bad football team that it doesn't matter who you are, you can't overcome.
Yeah, because literally none of the quarterbacks have overcome it this year. 216-474-0092. Will the Browns let Shador Sanders be Shador Sanders on Sunday, or do you think the right play is to try and turn him into some version of Dylan Gabriel? An Ohio State and NFL legend sends a very nice message to Shador Sanders in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, former Buckeye NFL legend and Bowling Green head coach Eddie George was on the Kay Adams Show and had a message for Shador Sanders.
I've competed against Shador when he was at Jackson State. I've watched him certainly over the past few years, and he's matured into a professional. Now he has the opportunity to go out and show the world why, hey, I deserve to have this position and really make this claim to say he's the future moving forward. This is what he wanted. This is what he has. And he has to go out there and make the most of it, and he has a chance to, for at least 1 week, silence the naysayers. And as you become successful, you know, that red dot, that target becomes bigger on your back. So he's gotta just take it all in stride. You know, keep your head down, chop wood, carry water.
I'm in the Eddie George business by a mile here, but to get to the game on Sunday, with all the hype, you got Eddie George talking about Shador. You got Cam Newton continuing to talk about Shador every show. All this. Will the Browns-Raiders game be the most watched 1 p.m./4 p.m. game on Sunday?
You confused me with the 1 o'clock. So we're combining both or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, yeah. The early window.
Like the early window games. Yeah. Obviously not Sunday night or anything like that. Yeah. All right, let's think about it for a second. Chicago-Pittsburgh's always going to have eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a primo matchup. If Aaron Rodgers plays, not only we're involving market size attached to that as well. Chicagoans care about Aaron Rodgers in a way that is don't care about other quarterbacks, really.
Philly and Dallas is another 4 o'clock game that I think is tough to beat.
Okay. Philly Dallas seems very tough to beat. Dallas obviously draws all the time. Outside of that, I don't really.
It's not a great matchup.
I don't really have many that would. Yeah, I don't really have many that would beat that.
I don't think it will, but I think it's going to be fascinating to see the numbers that come out from
Kansas
this
City
game.
Indy's the game I forgot about. Kansas City Indy. I know.
Why
it doesn't
does anybody
feel.
Want to watch that?
I know it doesn't feel. Well, I mean,
the Colts just don't do a damn thing for me. I don't care about their record.
Our brains have not adjusted to the idea that the Colts have the record they have, and conversely, I think people do really enjoy watching the Chiefs struggle.
Oh no, that's fair.
Like, I think there's a part of people that like the idea. Like yesterday, I brought up how the Panthers have more wins than the Chiefs this year. I think people like that. I think people like hearing that. They're like, oh wow, like that's
Chiefs
oh,
by 10.
Didn't know it was going that bad. Which, by again, just kind of speaks to, you know, what happens when, I don't know, you have a left tackle that went AWOL and isn't really playing well when he is on the field, and then a right tackle that is absolute booty cheeks. Turns out tackles in this sport do matter.
Michigan cheated.
Turns out offensive line does matter.
Saying, you two are something else. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that
based
compliment.
Off of what?
He's pissed that we called out Kevin Stefanski. But all I saw was okay. You two are something else.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take that compliment.
I didn't even know we had Stefanski defenders at this point in general.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I thought they all kind of just went away. I thought they tucked themselves into bed, and it's nighty-night time for them
no
already.
No tuck job for the Stefanski fans.
Always searching for a tuck job. Joe Flacco says he'd like a starting opportunity in 2026, and
me
then
too.
Headed, you never know.
Yeah.
He's like, but you never know. But he's putting it out there. He does want to play another season, and he feels like he's done enough this year to showcase to the rest of the NFL why, in fact, he should be a starter for next season.
I just think what's funny is if Joe was even like 35, it wouldn't be a question that he'd get a starting job next year.
Oh, yeah, based off the play, yeah.
And again, like, there are going to be people in the NFL who say, well, but we don't have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Totally fair. There are also going to be people like Minnesota that says, I need somebody credible that I can trust in the event that the J.J. McCarthy turns out to just be full cheeks, and that's a guy that we can plug in for a year if J.J. McCarthy just craps a bed.
Does Joe Flacco come back to the Browns in 2026 if, in fact, we don't draft a quarterback?
I don't know.
Third time.
Now, if I hear the reports by Mary Kay, Deshaun's guaranteed to be here next year. Is Deshaun going to be afraid of Joe again?
I think we might have a competition now. Yeah, this might be the quarterback competition you never knew
that
you
wanted 2 years ago.
Yeah, Deshaun versus Joe Flacco. What time machine are we living in?
Yeah,
that might be the reality. Oddly enough,
versus Shador and Dylan Gabriel.
It actually has a higher chance of happening with a new head coach than with Stefan. Because Flacco would be like, well, I'm not going back there. You saw what happened in those four games. I'm not doing that offense. Rather retire than go play for Stefanski again.
I bet you. I don't think there's any heat between Joe and Kevin.
Not heat, but also, I mean, he looked awful. And then he went to Cincinnati. It wasn't awful. He's got a. He remembers
if the
Browns
that. Gave him the starting guarantee. I bet you Joe'd take it.
Only if he's out of options.
Well, yeah, I think that's. I don't expect him to be
he's
replete
be
with
completely
options.
Completely out of options.
Not with guaranteed
well,
starting
think
options.
Think about it. The amount of. Also, you could just be banking on a backup job, though, because the amount of. The amount of quarterbacks that end up playing in a season has been the numbers are insane.
You know where you should go, right? You should go to Kansas City. Back up Mahomes, maybe get another ring, and Mahomes misses one game, you light it up with 400 yards, and all of a sudden, he just keeps doing well.
Yeah, not bad.
Omaha! I really wanted more from you there. Buddy Ken Carman.
I thought he was going to hit the thing.
The voice of Cleveland. The only real show in all of America, really.
Yeah.
He tweeted out earlier today that while the NFL can call Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman, for due diligence, there's no job better than the one he currently has. If we factor in college football gigs and NFL jobs, is Notre Dame a top 20 job across football?
I don't think so, because I think there's probably 20 NFL jobs I would take before being the Notre Dame head coach. And then I haven't even gotten to the college jobs that I'd probably take ahead of Notre Dame. So, like, we're looking at, there's a lot of them. Now, the NFL jobs you don't take, it really just involves bad ownership is the reason why you wouldn't take them,
right? The Browns are one of them.
The Browns are definitely one of them. I think Dallas is one that I think most people would be like, all right. But it's still the Dallas Cowboys, though. So even though it's a bad job because Jerry runs everything, you're still the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's still a mega deal. Like, Schottenheimer in his obituary will lead head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, even if it only exists for this year. So I think there's just too many too many good jobs in the NFL to say it's top 20.
I think Notre Dame in college is maybe at best the seventh or eighth best job in college football. I don't really think not playing in a conference is that much of a an assist that I think maybe Ken and other people believe. And also, you just have restrictions. There's a reason why Notre Dame hasn't won a national championship in 40 damn years. I think at best it's the seventh best job in college football, and even that's a stretch. So, yeah, I mean, there are easily 20 jobs in football, if not 22, 23 NFL jobs that are better, plus six or seven college schools. Now, it's arguable it might not even be top 30.
I do think there was a time where it was easily top five in the sport. It's just that time has come and passed. I'm thinking like Rudy, Lou Holtz, that time frame where it really felt like, and maybe just me growing up in the, you know, a bunch of Irish neighborhood, a big Irish neighborhood, but like that job felt very premier at the time in a way that it doesn't now.
Yeah, because honestly,
it's still a big-time job.
Can
I'm not
tell
trying
you
to dismiss
why?
It. It's still
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Big time job.
It's because it's the nationalization of college football. It's no longer a regional sport, which is something I know we want to get to at some point. But like, just because regionally in Ohio, we still have a little bit more love for Notre Dame, I don't think anybody in the South gives a rip about Notre Dame. Like, I think
and it matters. Again, it matters in Chicago, for instance. It matters in parts of the Midwest, but it just doesn't travel the same
but
way.
But I also think we've become more understanding and maybe tolerable of how many great elite LSU programs there are. Mm-hmm. And obviously, SSU or SEC is what I meant to say. But even Texas and Oklahoma, I think you can make the obvious case Texas is better. Then I think you could certainly argue Oklahoma's better too.
Texas for sure.
Yeah.
Texas, not even close.
I mean, Texas is a top five.
Yeah, of course.
And you can make the case that Texas is. That's why it's laughable that Sarkisian just keeps making the playoffs and people are like, well, he's really good. It's like, no, I don't think he is.
Omaha! Awful announcing today, says Tony Romo's decline is impossible to ignore. 5 years later, CBS's massive Romo contract looks like one of the worst decisions in sports media. Remember that initial contract? It was 10 years, $180 million. It's been dwarfed by what Tom Brady's received, obviously. But the only part of this that I find interesting is the idea that Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. I will always love Jim Nantz. I got a soft spot for Jim Nantz. But
Cleveland's own.
Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. I think it's his in-laws.
Yeah, just like Archuleta. They're one of us.
Just like Archuleta, exactly right.
One of us.
So I love Nantz till the day he stops doing this, but that broadcasting is not
till the day he dies?
Well, once he leaves the booth, for me, he kind of does die in many ways. That's how that works. I know, it's sad, but like, then he's just not in my life anymore. So in many ways, yes, that's how that works.
All about you.
For me. Yeah, well, yeah, in this context, yes, it is. It'll exist somewhere, sure. But between him and
Jim Nantz isn't calling games.
That's kind of how it works.
And on Jonathan's TV, listen, does he really exist?
If you stop making movies, if I like you as an actor and you stop making movies and you do no podcast, you have nothing else. Yeah, you are kind of dead to me, aren't you?
So,
like, you're living
somewhere.
So Nicholson's
somewhere. Dead to you?
I don't see him at Lakers games anymore.
He is still there.
You know, he stopped going the past couple years. He stopped being courtside.
Oh, I remember there was some. I remember seeing some picture in the last year or two.
He like legitimately was there at every single game, and then he stopped because he's been. I think he's been dealing with like an illness lately, though. Like, there's like an actual like reason why he hasn't been there. Yeah, very much so. But like, yeah, like that's how that works for me. Not doesn't work that way for you. You're just like, oh, they're just alive
like, oh,
in a different
I'm
place.
Happy they're still out there.
They're like, yeah, I guess he's in California somewhere.
The Guardians have a decision to make on Stephen Kwan this offseason, and Sal Lakata of our sister station WFAN in NYC says he wants Kwan and the Yankees.
Who's the left fielder is what I care about now. This is great. You get Christian back. Whether you love him, hate him, doesn't matter. It happened. Now what? How are they going to get better? It starts with bringing Bellinger back. And then from there, you need to now get better. Because if you bring Bellinger back, you're the same. In my mind, getting better would be immediately trading either Spencer Jones or Dominguez, some package centered around them,
yep,
for Kwan. Now you have a left fielder, Gold Glover, leadoff hitter. Boom. Mm-hmm. He's in place. You could use Grisham in center. You could use Bellinger in center. You could use Bellinger at first. You can move some pieces around. I still think you need more on top of it, but at least to me, that would be bring back Bellinger and go get Kwan. Now your outfield should be set.
Jason Dominguez or Spencer Jones as the centerpiece of a Kwan deal to the Yankees. What say you?
Well, Dominguez is not very good at baseball, so I have to have an issue with that.
Now, he was Spencer, almost a two-war offensive player in his first year in the big leagues.
Okay, but dude, he was awful at defense. Couldn't play defense with a lift. So he got down
point,
to...
He
finishes under a one-win war this last year.
I'm the reverse Browns. Don't care. Make me a bicycle clown. Hit me 35 home runs. He didn't even slug
400 last year. What are you talking about?
He had 10 home runs in 380 at bats.
Yeah, again, not good enough. Like, I don't know what
he's
we're selling
22.
Here. I don't know what we're selling here.
Players get better the longer they play. I don't know if you know about this, but players work good
prospects. Condescending about baseball players getting better and better?
Because
I'm telling you, the guy's hitting below. He's slugging below 400.
Uh-huh. Did he have, I think it was like a 1.5 offensive war, O-war as they call it? I believe he did this
year. His slash line, .257 batting average, .331 on base percentage, .388 last year. What are we doing here? 0.6 was his final war last year. He had a negative -13.2 defensively, the worst defensive player on the Yankees. What was
Jose Ramirez's stats after his first year in the bigs? He looked like a utility player.
Okay, so you're that's fine. You want to sell me on the idea that he's going to get massively, massively better? Okay, but he has to actually do that. He has to be much better than what he was last year.
I mean, Dominguez, Chase Hampton, and a prospect, me likey, long time.
I think Sal is trying to give us his a little bit better than garbage and tell us that we should be happy with this ordeal. And I don't know. I don't end up happy with this ordeal.
Now, Spencer Jones, I don't like. Too much chase, and I don't think he's going to be that good.
Didn't we talk a lot about Spencer Jones last year at one point?
Yeah.
I think we talked a lot about Spencer Jones at one point.
I think
You know what does stink, though, is that the Guardians, and I just hate this for Guardians fans, is that any of these fun type of discussions, they very rarely come. Like there was a Scoobo article earlier in the day, and it's like, I don't even have to scroll down to see if the Guardians are on that list. I know they're not on that list. And that part of our baseball fandom gets sucked out of us, and I hate that for this fan base.
Yeah, but we had a passionate J.J. Bladé argument on middays yesterday. That's where we are. Emery Hunt, owner of Football Game Plan, talking Shador's first start and whether the Browns should let him cook on Sunday in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.